I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the 23rd Psalm in John chapter 10. We're going to read two portions of the scripture. We're going to talk about Jesus, our shepherd, this morning. And we talked about Jesus, our great high priest. He's still our high priest, and he's in the sitting at the right hand of the Father on your behalf. The Bible says that Jesus is our great shepherd, and you know, he's our high priest. He's our intercessor. An intercessor is someone who goes on behalf of another. And that's what he does. He goes on behalf of you before the Father God. And he's always there to intercede for you. And he's also, you know, our advocate. He's our great lawyer in heaven. And he always, as we say, wins his case. But he's done it. And so thank God for that. Did you find that 23rd Psalm?
Yes, sir.
The first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." 23rd Psalm, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine." First of all, David is writing here in the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So I want to talk to you today about our great shepherd, Jesus. And Jesus is the shepherd who provides everything we need in this life. We need to come to know him. And so we've been looking at the present-day ministry of Jesus last little while, and we saw that he's our high priest, our mediator, our intercessor, and now we're looking at Jesus as our shepherd. David here writes about the Lord and identifies Jesus as our shepherd for this day that we're living in. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want to read you a portion of something about David as a shepherd in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 19, the New Living says, "So Saul sent messengers to Jesse. He said, 'Send me your son,'" or "send your son David, the shepherd boy," or the shepherd. So Saul was having a hard time, and they were looking for somebody to help him out. And they knew that David was a very, he was a very skilled player. And he played, every time he played, the Bible said the anointing of God came, and he would drive the spirit away from the man, because the evil spirit would come and torment Saul, and so they couldn't find release for him, and so they brought him. How many people know that music will bless you, especially anointed music? And so Saul calls for David to serve him. Then later we see David, and that was... he was basically a savior here, that as a shepherd boy, saving the Israelite army from this great, you know, Goliath, this great monstrous man who is defying the army of God and frightening them and causing them to be paralyzed with fear. And so we see here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 37, I'm reading the New Living Translation here for our reading. He said, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul, "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy." Anybody ever tell you that? "Hey, boy, you're a kid, eh?" "He's been a man of war since his youth." In other words, this guy's really, he knows how to fight. He's been practicing for a long time. But David persisted. He said, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats." He said, "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." He's a violent man also. He's learning how to be. He became an army guy who can be a good fighter. "I've done this both to the lion and the bears. I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws, the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead." And he said, "May the Lord be with you." We see here David's heart as a young man, a shepherd boy. He was courageous, fearless, confident. And he was willing to lay down his life for those sheep, for the little smelly sheep. And how much God loves the sheep. And we see here the love of God here displayed in this young man and how he cared for the armies of God and how David cared for the lambs and the goats, the little ones. And he cared for them and he rescued them even from the jaws of the lion. That's something else, isn't it? You know, the devil can bite you and kill you to the point where you're almost dead. God will rescue you, the Bible says, from the jaws of death. You know, we don't like to think about it, but we confidently say it right now, but when we get sick, that's another story. Or when someone close to you is sick, you remember how you feel. Like you might be confident right now, yeah, where is he right now? But when it comes to your house, we say, "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Then you forget about somebody. But if it's your house, it's a little story, different story, because it affects you on an emotional level. So we see the following words of Jesus, our great shepherd, found in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14 here. Jesus himself identifies his own person as a shepherd. He says, "I'm a good shepherd." And he differentiates between what a good shepherd is and someone who's not a shepherd. He said in verse 11 of John chapter 10, right down to verse 14, I'm reading the New Living here. He said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep." You know, Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice that bought us our redemption, that made the covenant that could never be broken, that God made with us. God made a covenant. He cut a covenant with you and I through his son Jesus. He didn't do it with anyone else, but he did it with his son so that it would never be broken. So there's a covenant. There's a book full of promises in the Bible that says what belongs to you. Amen. And failure to read about those promises will cause you heartache, misery, and defeat if you don't know them. So he says, a hired hand, verse 12, will run and when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs because he's working only for money. Doesn't really care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And I'm going to tell you something here. I went into ministry, it wasn't because of money. I went in there because there was actually no money involved. And I said, I don't understand this. Why am I going to the ministry if there's no money involved? And I had to put away my own dreams to fulfill the call God has called me. And I'm not trying to tell you this to tell you a sob story. I'm just telling you a reality because this is the way it is. I mean, I'm sitting in my home one day. It was Christmas Day. We had no money. Nothing to buy, even to buy food, let alone gifts. I'm sitting there. Like, I understand people with no money. I grew up with no money. I mean, but now that I can actually make money, now I'm graduated, I have a master's degree, I can go get a job. That's almost 35, 40 years ago. I can just get a job anywhere I want to go. I can work for the government, I can do work anywhere, open doors for me, and probably learn how to do a lot of stuff, and just, you know, make a living from my wife and I, and go into the ministry. I mean, can you imagine people telling you, "What? You're quitting your educational pursuits and going and work in a church? There's no money in there. In fact, I told my dad one day, I went to visit him on a, go visit my dad every once in a while. I said, I got to go back to work. He said, oh, yeah, you got a job? I said, yeah, I'm going to the church. Oh, okay. So he didn't see it as a job. Didn't see it as work. And a lot of people have that same perspective. But he says a hired hand only does it for money. I stayed here when there was no money. And now there's some money, I still stay. There's a little bit more money now than before. And I know my kids sacrificed a lot. People don't realize that when you pioneer something, you do suffer. Somebody has to suffer. Somebody has to give up something. And, I was telling Pastor Ken the other day, I've seen people I started out with in ministry, they quit because this happened, that happened. A lot of times you can see research that most pastors quit because of money. I tell you, if you went out right now and started a church, you quit because of money. That's the first thing, because there's no money in it. And not only just to meet your needs, but to also to meet the ministry needs. So, and you have to know first if God called you. And sometimes you have to stand long and hard. And Jesus understands this. And he says a hired hand will run because of money. So, no, we serve because I know the pastors here, they come. It's not because we got money, because they come because God called them. So don't give them any more money. They're going to work for free. So, you got to live, right? You got to live. So he said, I'm the good shepherd, verse 14. So Jesus laid down his life for us so that he could save us and rescue us from Satan's dominion and Satan's grip and his tyranny. And we see something here in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Here's Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is the most important note that, if you don't understand, if you haven't studied about covenant, I mean, that'll open your eyes to a whole new level about believing God. Amen. Covenant. God is tied to you because of the covenant. And there's nothing you can do to turn him away that he will never love you. You can do a lot of things. God will still love you. Amen. That doesn't mean he has the license to bless you. He only has license to bless you when you follow his word. And you can't force God to bless you. So you have to see the scripture. Here Paul tells the Colossians, he's prayed for them. And he's saying this in verse 12. Always thanking the Father, New Living, Colossians 1, 12. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. In other words, people who are walking in the will of God can enjoy the blessings of God. Right? For he has rescued. He's not trying to rescue you from the devil. He has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is the devil's kingdom. And sometimes Christians will leave the sheepfold, will leave a church or leave the kingdom of God and go into play in the kingdom of darkness, and they get decimated. The Bible says when a person goes, leave God, they're in bad shape. Very bad shape. They're worse than they were before. And so we see this a lot of times. People go out there and they go and do whatever they think they think they're doing their own thing, but they're actually being, because they're in darkness, see? Because it's called the kingdom of darkness, because people deceive. They think, I'm on my own. I'm my own man. I'm going to do what I want. But they're not doing what they want. They're doing because the devil is forcing them through fear or whatever it is, pressures, to do something. Isn't it wonderful that we have peace? You could have slept in this morning, but you came here because you felt like you needed to be here. Because you felt that I'm going to obey God in my spirit. He has rescued us. Not that he's going to rescue you one day, but sitting here right now, you're already delivered from the kingdom of darkness. In other words, anything that Satan planned, you're already rescued. That's why you don't have to pray for a lot of stuff. See, I believe it. Here's what it says in the Word. I take it in the name of Jesus. I'm free. I'm free from addictions. I remember, I was going to AA for a number of years. I thank God for AA. I just really, if you're having trouble and you can't come to church, then go to AA. Not Teen Challenge. No, just kidding. You can go to Teen Challenge. You can go anything. You can go to Teen Challenge. You can go to Adult Teen Challenge. You can go to Baby Teen Challenge. You can go to any kind of treatment, anything that helps you. Amen. You can go to, they got Native treatment centers. You can go to the Native treatment centers. You can go to the white treatment centers. You can go any kind of treatment center. Just go get help. Amen. And so I went to AA because Teen Challenge was not available. If it was there, I probably would have went in there, maybe. But I don't think I would have spent a year in there being bossed around by people. I went to AA, but I went to every day, I went to AA. Okay, so I'm telling my story, okay? So just a little bit. So one day, I was going to meetings every day. So I started reading the books and started finding out some things in there that were truth. And one day it dawned on me, because I had become, in that process of time, and after 4 or 5 years, I became a Christian and realized that, you know what? I'm going to meetings every day because I'm afraid that I might drink again. And I got a revelation, Colossians, that he's delivered me from the power of darkness. That I'm already delivered. So I said, you know what? I'm delivered. And that's why I don't have any problem with anybody going to any kind of treatment centers, because the Bible already provided. You're going to find out anyway that you're already delivered. Amen. Now, I could go out and use again, but I don't want to. I can see the result of what happens to people when they go in there. Why would I want to do that again? So I don't do it, and I won't do it. So I realized one day that I'm free. I don't ever have to go to a meeting anymore. To stay sober, I go there only for fellowship. I enjoy my friends. And in fact, I went last week. In fact, I went twice. I went with someone, then I went again, and I had an old friend who said, come in, let's go. So I go. I want to go for fellowship. I enjoy those people. I love the people there. They're wonderful people. They do everything, you know, for you. But not the newcomer. And so thank God for that. So one day I realized I was already delivered. I said, hey, I'm delivered. Whether I go to a meeting or not, I'm already delivered. But I went there for fellowship and fun. It helps your soul to go there and talk, you know. And so I go. I still go. I go once in a while. That's because I have to. If I had to, I would go. But I don't have to. I didn't have to come to church this morning, but I'm here because I want to be here. So like you, you're here because you want to be here. So according to Colossians 1:13, that God, through his son Jesus Christ, has already delivered you on the cross. That everything you need was brought into reality through that cross. When he took his blood and put it in the heaven, he sealed the covenant, which will never be broken. And every one of your needs is met. When you understand these things, it doesn't happen to you automatically. You have to look at it in the scripture and see, this belongs to me. Now, there's Christians who have been born again for years. They don't understand that there's certain things that belong. They have certain rights. They have to go to someone to get themselves delivered. But when you're born again, bona fide, mature Christian, you realize that I'm free. The devil, you can't lay hands on me. I remember when I first cast devils out of people, Now, I didn't realize how powerful I was in Christ. And the Lord had to show me. And so you could do the same thing, not because I'm anything great. This is that you could find out too. Amen. You can have some too. You know, you can be blessed. So he says that you're delivered, already been delivered. Everybody say, I'm delivered. Out of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness has all this stuff in there that's evil and dark. Anything that's bad is in there, and now you're free right now. So God, through Jesus Christ, has provided for you everything you need in this life. God has provided for you to be insured that nothing will be ever taken away from you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, has ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus took his blood, and that covenant, which provides every single need in your life, can be insured to you. You have assurance that healing will be provided to you. You have assurance that if you have any problem, mental illness, physical illness, anxiety issues, fears. I told you before, I can tell it again. I had anxiety issues for a number of years, and I'm totally free. Glory. I used to have anxiety attacks. My mom used to have them. I had them. But I quit having anxiety attacks. I would go to the hospital and ask them to give me some medication. But I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Free today. And so you can be free too.
Amen.
And so every one of us that God provided for us through Jesus Christ, our shepherd, everything we need. Verse 21 says in Hebrews 13, He'll equip you with all you need for doing His will. You know, the devil will come and attack you in areas to stop you from carrying on with God. God will give you something, but he'll attack you. You attack your car, right? Attack your groceries. He's been attacking groceries a lot lately, I see, and gas. He said, I can't do anything. I don't have any gas money. So he'll attack everything. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your wife. He's been attacking my wife for a long time. No, I'm just kidding. He's been attacking us. Sometimes he'll attack me to attack her. And I attack her, and then she attacks me. It's crazy, right? The devil will make you crazy if you listen to him. He said, your wife says to me, see your wife over there? She's the one that's giving you trouble. So I look at her, and I said, and he says, and those dogs too. They're taking up all your time. You could have been playing hockey or something. And all that money you've been spending on those dogs every month, they cost money, those dogs. They haven't paid rent ever since you got over here. Does anybody want bulldogs? You'd be crying too. They said, get a Frenchie. You ever see those commercials? Get a Frenchie, your life will change. And my life changed completely. The book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 1. The book of Psalms, the Psalms mentions Jesus very prophetically in Psalm 22. It mentions his death. Prophetically, in Psalm 22, it talks about the psalmist saw Jesus dying on the cross and suffering in Psalm 22, prophetically. And in the 23rd Psalm, he saw Jesus as our great shepherd who provides all our needs. In Psalm 24, the psalmist saw Jesus coming You know, coming back to us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not happened yet, but it's coming. Jesus is coming, people. Amen. He's coming. I said, Jesus is coming. And everybody's going to just acting up like there's nothing's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to be just like when Noah, days of Noah, right? And those old days where everybody's doing whatever, in the days of and the floods came, everybody was doing their buying, selling, marrying, and they carried on like nothing's going to happen. When I go to a funeral, I've done a lot of funerals the last couple of years, lots of them. And I tell people are carrying on like they're going to live forever. How much years you got? 70? 80? Everybody, whether you're Christian, born again or not, everybody, God says you can have 70 or 80 years. And if you want to, you can live longer. I talked to someone yesterday in their 80s. They're 82 years old, and they're having a hard time right now because they worry so much. And he said, oh, I'm having a hard time. I wanted to say, shut up. I'm just kidding. You know, you think about that, right? God will keep you vital and strong, right?
Amen.
Till you die. You don't have to die with sickness and disease. We say, well, how are you going to die? Well, your heart will stop and then you go home.
Amen.
So, let's read Psalm 23. Same one as Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, verse 1, I shall not want. In other words, because you're a shepherd, you'll not lack for anything. You get up in the morning and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I won't lack for anything today. I won't lack for wisdom. I won't lack for money. I thank God today that I have all my needs met.
Amen.
I can go to my car and go for a drive if I want to. I can go and buy a Volvo if I want to. And pay later. Somebody said, yeah, go ahead and buy up houses and everything else and let the devil pay for it. Because Jesus is coming. Back, you know, when I got saved, he said, Roma, don't go to school. Jesus is coming. He's coming right now. Yeah, don't go to school. So I decided not to go to school because he's coming any second. But no, in the meantime, I went to school. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What's that mean? Well, you find out. Verse 3, he lies down, leads me in the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the Psalm 23rd. And that, if you'll study this, you'll find out there's a whole pile of things in there that's going to be good for you. He said, I shall not want. Meaning that he's going to meet every single need that you have. God is watching over you right now. He knows that you came to church this morning, and he wrote a good mark for you. He said, okay, because you went to church, I'll reward you. I'll give you some juice right after. Jesus is our caretaker. He loves us, and he's the head of the church. The Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead. In other words, he's the first one who was raised from the dead. Right? Colossians 1:18, the King James says, he's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in that all things that he might have preeminence. He's the head of the church. And this Jesus, Philippians 4:19 says, he meets every one of your needs, just like it says in chapter 1, verse 1 of Psalms. That my God shall supply, notice this, my God shall supply, 4:19, all your need. According As long as the economy is good. He said, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So don't be scared if the mill shuts down, the transit goes down, and the government thing goes down. They say, no, God's providing for my need. He said so. He'll send, like a raven to your house and bring fried chicken. Right? Where's Ernie? Ernie's been missing. I'm going to have to find him. He's probably dead somewhere at the chicken stand. No, just kidding. Race that. He's going to see me this morning. He says, Ernie, I haven't seen Ernie for a while. He usually sends me $10 for a chicken, but he hasn't. So, Ernie, if you're watching, I need another 10. But God shall supply, right? Everybody say, God shall supply.
God shall supply.
Half of my needs. He, according to what? According to the government of Trudeau. No? No? According to Trump. So that's what we think about. Oh, everything's going down. You know, we say groceries are going on. You can't buy groceries. You go to the grocery store. When my mother went to the store for $10, it was like this. Right? Now when I go to the store, it goes like this. Right? So gas has gone up. Housing, they say there's no houses. You can't buy a house. If you're a young person, you can't buy a house.
A lie.
It is a lie, but people are believing it. Right? You can buy a house if you want to go in debt. You go ahead and buy a house right now if you want to. You want to? Yeah, so you could. I mean, you're not in debt if you don't owe anything for the first of the month. If you miss your payment, then you're in debt. So anyway, they said there that, reading the different things, that Canada is there's a shortage of housing, and everybody is wants a house, but they can't find any house. And something I saw, one of my Facebook friends yesterday bought a house in town, and nice house. I think they said it's their first house. And they used to live at a tent city over here. No, I'm just kidding. No. They bought a house for the first time. And they, thank God, they bought a house. I said, you know what? Hey, people are looking for houses. You can't find a house. We're going to sell our house, my wife and I. But not today. One day we'll sell it. It'll be $1 million and something. So we don't lack for anything. He said, God shall supply all my needs. Because he's your shepherd, you won't lack anything. Amen. Say, I won't lack anything. Say, ever again.
Ever again.
See, here's the problem. Here's the technical problem. People say, yeah, but I don't have any money. I'm confessing this right now. I don't even have a car. Well, confess you have a car. Amen. According to the Lord. Right? So we won't lack for anything, the Bible says. See, we have to think like God thinks. Think like what he said. Here's what it says over here. Psalm 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that's pretty good. Neither are your ways my ways. Did you ever tell the Lord, listen, Lord, if I was you, I would do it this way. Right? You tell God how to do things. How many people have told God what to do lately? One person. Okay? Two. I do it all the time. I said, Lord, listen. I want to tell you something. If you could help me, I would help you if I could, if you were in need. That's what I tell the Lord. Look, if you could help me the way I could help you, you could help me the way I could help you. I can't forget how it goes, but we want him to help us, right? But you know, God can help you in a way that's different from what you think. So we have to follow what he says. Okay, so he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God sees things differently than we do. As far as He's our shepherd. We have to see that God provided through Jesus everything we need. We have to see that. But we don't always see it because we're seeing the need. Okay? So Romans 4:17 says, he's talking about Abraham, our forefather. He said, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Notice this, God told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. And here he's standing there, childish. And he's old now. He's an old man. His wife is old. Not only that his wife's old, but she's barren. She's never had any children. Couldn't conceive seed. And he's now old. The Bible says that Abraham saw that his body was as good as dead. And God said to him, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham laughed. His wife laughed. And a lot of you, if you read the story about Abraham, you'll see it in Genesis, that they both laughed. In fact, they denied it. Even Sarah denied it. And you're denying stuff. You laugh at stuff when God, when people tell you this is provided in the new covenant, and you laugh. Because you don't see it the way God sees it. God sees it the way he sees it. And God says it the way he sees it. And we need to say what God says about us so that we can come in line with his will, with his plan. And the devil keeps showing us what we don't have. He said, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, who calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God calls things which are not as if it was. He calls you healed when you're sick. Because he's already provided that. God says you have a house right now when you don't have any housing. Like people are looking for a house. You say, well, yes, the world might be looking for a house, but I'm not. God's providing for me. I'm claiming that. He wants all of us to have a place. So I'm claiming that according to the word. So you have to see that God, what God says, because Jesus is your shepherd. He's provided all things. If he's provided all my needs, then housing comes under the need.
Amen. Come on.
If you don't have a job, then there's a job provided for you. You say, thank God I have a job.
Amen. Woo.
Right? You got a job. If you don't like your job, give it to somebody else and get a new one. So God called Abraham, and he said all his needs are provided. Before he actually knew that he had. So, you know, we have to begin to do what the scripture says. Begin to see that he's our shepherd and find out what's in the covenant, read the covenant, and put claim on it and say, this belongs to me, I have it. According to the word of God, I have it. You know, you might be sick and say, according to God's word, God says I have it, so I believe I receive it by faith. Yeah, my body is sick. Yeah, I'm going to take these medications until the doctor tells me not to, but according to the word of God, I'm well. So because you're in Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, you hear, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creatures have new stuff. They got a lot of new things coming to them. A lot of things provided. Lots of new stuff. You don't start as an old, you know, in the old days, God sees you as a new creation in Christ, well provided for, well cared for, well protected. That's what he sees in you. He made you brand new. And everything that you need is provided in Jesus.
Amen.
And he's at the right side of the Father. You know, thank God for different things. I was thinking about something that was given to me the other day. You know, God has opportunities for people. And I'm thinking about somebody right now that said, hey, listen, I've got a job doing a commercial for Tim Hortons. I thank God I'm making extra money now, provide for my schooling. And thank God, and another company, a national company, came again and said to that person, listen, we want you to do these things, and we'll pay you while you're in school, and we're going to provide this wage for you. And why in school? Thank God. God can provide money. And then also said, hey, we want you to come over here and do this, and we'll provide you thousands of dollars for it. Here's what we're going to pay you. And money is there. God provides. Now, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that. Because I would say, yo, you haven't done this, you haven't done that, but God did it. God's wonderful. He shows you how much he loves you and brings you into the kingdom when you didn't deserve it. And provides healing and all that blessing for you when you didn't deserve it. Amen. We say, well, you shouldn't have gotten that. You shouldn't have had that. No, but God gives them, blesses them anyway. I remember worshiping God with cigarettes in my pocket. And God's filling me with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues while I have cigarettes in my pocket. While thinking about going for a cigarette. Now, God didn't say you can go ahead and smoke. But he wanted me, he showed me, I love you more than you think. God loves you more than you think. You think you're bad. Bad. No, but God sees you in Christ. God sees you in Christ. He sees you in Jesus Christ. And he's provided for everything you need. Right? And so we have to see that Jesus is a shepherd. And I have to stop because it's 12:09, and everybody is dying. I'm supposed to be a living church here. I got a little story I want to tell you before I close here. Come on up here, Vanessa. I want you to do a little song for us. Do a polka song. You know any polka songs? No? I think my wife will do it. Maybe Jean too. They both play the squeeze box. We're going to bring them in as a squeeze box duo. They went to the same Pentecostal Bible college, too. So they must be sisters. The only thing they have is missing is the bun. They lost the bun. So, you know what? God loves you. God provided everything you need. He did it before you even were any good. Before you were living right, he provided everything you need. There's a story I want to close with this with D.L. Moody. He went over to Britain and he was doing some work over there and he met a young man, preacher, 19 years old. And Moody said, yeah, when you come, Moody said, when you come to America, come out of my place, preach for us. So the guy shows up at Moody's door. He said, I'm here to preach. And Moody said, oh, my goodness. So he said, okay, I have to go away on a trip, but we'll provide you a small little chapel here in the basement of the church, and you can start preaching there for a little bit while I go away on this trip. I'll be back after a few days. And so they put him in that basement. And that young man, you know, Moody used to preach, you know, God is angry at you, and he's going to condemn you. Yeah, you know, and so on. He preached real strong about judgment. But he said that young man preached every night the same message, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He preached that message. That meeting was so big, they had to move that meeting up to the bigger sanctuary, and everybody was coming, just filling that place, people getting saved, filled with the Spirit, getting blessed. And Moody came back. He said to his wife, what's going on? What happened? He said, well, the young man, what did he preach? He preached 3:16 every night. The love of God. The Bible says, I want to show you this scripture, that last closing scripture. He says that God has called every one of us to tell other people how much God loves them, not how much he condemns them. Now, on some of my Facebook, some of the ministers said, you know, you pastors need to preach people about against sin. Talk about sin. Tell them how bad those people are. Talk about they're living in sin. People are living in sin. People doing this, people doing that. Talk to them. No, we're going to preach what God says. Preach to them that they're new creation. Preach to them that they have more than enough. They can make a change. They can have better than they have. Brother Higgins says that an old cow will know difference. That if you bring an old cow and feed him there and hit him over the head every time he comes, he'll never come. He'll stop coming back, even if there's food there. An old cow will know the difference. But he says this young man preached about the love of God and how much God loves them, and they kept coming back and kept getting blessed. And here's our duty that we have to do and understand about the shepherd. Over in the scripture here, I want to show you one more scripture, and we're going to absolutely close this meeting down and have a wonderful time and have some fellowship together. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so Moody always preached about how wicked and sinful people were, and that God's going to judge them one day, and you're going to die and go to hell. But this man says that God so loved the world that he sent his son so that you could live and you can change your life and have everything met through Jesus Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the new creature, in verse 18, he says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and that committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God wants us to tell people how much he loves them, that he's forgiven them, that God is not against them, but is for them. You know, it's amazing. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 23, says, in all its fullness, God was pleased to live in Christ. Same kind of expression. God was in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself and made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. With everything in heaven and on earth, by the means of Christ's blood on the cross, this includes you who were far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by him by your evil thoughts and actions. Verse 22 says, Colossians 9. Verse 22 says, he had reconciled us to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy, blameless, as you stand before him without a single fault. You stand blameless and holy before God right now, according to the word of God. Now, he talked about extremes of Arminianism and Calvinism, you know, but you have a will. You can walk away from God if you want to, but we want to stay in the will of God, right? But we must continue, verse 23, to believe this truth by standing firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as a God's servant and to proclaim it. So people, Jesus is our good shepherd. And he's provided all that we need to live in this life. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants to bless you continually with his presence and opportunities and all your needs to be met. Everybody stand. Thank you, Father, that all our needs are met in Jesus, our great shepherd, Savior of our souls.